Thank you, Christopher. That was, as always, beautiful. Jan Butler will now share our morning scripture with us.
I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version today. This is Mark 1, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel."
Thank you, Jan. We all know something about wilderness. Some of us have spent time in actual physical wildernesses. Maybe the harsh, rocky dryness of a desert, or more likely, given where we live, we have spent time in a forest wilderness of trees. Wildernesses can come in all sorts of ecosystems. But every kind of wilderness has wildness, and with that, certain dangers and the risk of being lost or of being unable to meet our basic needs. Tragically, as Marlene mentioned a few minutes ago, there are people in Texas this past week who felt like their own homes and towns became a kind of wilderness, a place where they could no longer trust to keep them safe and provide their basic needs of water and warmth and food. So wilderness can also be a metaphor for all sorts of other experiences of uncertainty and crisis, struggle, chaos. An illness or injury can be a wilderness. Time in a hospital can certainly be a wilderness. A broken relationship, the loss of a job, and of course, a global pandemic. All sorts of experiences can thrust us into wilderness, a place where we have to figure out how to survive and how to cope, a time where we have to reassess who we are and what we value. Wilderness forces us to re-examine our lives and search to find a way forward. The scripture for Lent always begins in the wilderness. And so we hear from Mark that Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan and immediately went into the wilderness. Unlike Matthew and Luke, Mark gives us very few details. Mark moves quickly. Jesus went down in the waters of the Jordan to be baptized. The heavens were torn open. The Spirit came upon Jesus with power. There were words of blessing. "You are my Son, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Commentator Andrew Pryor writes of this moment that there is, in Jesus' baptism, a meeting point of heaven and earth, a deliberate ripping aside of the barrier on the part of God. And Jesus is the point of intersection. To turn cosmology upside down, in Jesus, the depth surfaces. John had predicted that the coming one would baptize with the Spirit. Now the coming one has arrived, and we see the Spirit descending on him. The baptizing in the Spirit can begin. But then, Mark says, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. The same Spirit that brought light and love and blessing drove him out into the wilds of the Judean desert. We can see these 40 days of time for Jesus as a time of discernment, a vision quest, a search for clarity about his identity and his call. What did it mean if he was God's son, God's beloved? What did God want from him? What was he meant to do? But we can also see this as a powerful affirmation that the Spirit was with Jesus and is with us, not just in times that feel like blessings, but just as powerfully in the times of wilderness and chaos and uncertainty in our lives. Carolyn Lewis writes that when we look at the temptation of Jesus in Mark, it calls attention to what is our greatest temptation, the temptation to think that God is not present. But God is always present. Here we see that the Spirit wasn't just with Jesus at the moment of baptism. The Spirit went with him into the wilderness. In our times of trial and struggle, in our seasons of grief and loss, in days of uncertainty and chaos, the Spirit of God is with us too. Jesus walks with us in these times. He was, as Isaiah prophesied, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one who has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus was able to make his way in the wilderness to face the temptation and emerge strengthened and empowered. The Spirit of God offers us this same strength and power. We can stand up. We can stay true. We can survive and even thrive in the struggles that come into our lives. Sometimes life's events throw us into wilderness. And sometimes there is a real sense that, like Jesus, God's Spirit drives us there. There are things we may need to learn, lessons we can only learn in wilderness times in our lives. So we live with the paradox of our faith, not that God creates or causes our sufferings and struggles, but that there is wisdom we can only learn in these times. John Moses writes in his book, The Desert, an Anthology for Lent, that there is a physical desert inhabited by a few exceptional men and women who are called to live there. But more importantly, there is an inner desert into which each of us must someday venture. It is a void, an empty space for solitude and testing. He says, if you go to the desert to be rid of all the dreadful people and all the awful problems in your life, you will be wasting your time. You should go to the desert for a total confrontation with yourself. One goes to the desert to see more and see better. One goes to the desert especially to take a look at the things and people one would rather not see, to face situations one would rather avoid, to answer questions one would rather forget. But wilderness isn't all about testing and struggle, because there is beauty in the wilderness. There is solitude that can touch the depths of our souls. There is a holy presence that we may only find in the wilderness. Again and again in the scriptures and in other spiritual traditions, God is revealed in solitude, in wilderness. Remember that Thomas Keating quote, God's first language is silence and everything else is a poor translation. In the silence of the wilderness, in the aloneness, God is revealed. And I believe that Mark's gospel also hints that in the wilderness there can be a revelation of God's shalom, God's wholeness, the peaceable kingdom. I had always thought of those wild beasts that Mark refers to as being part of the danger and trials of the wilderness. And most commentators interpret it that way. But something that one commentator wrote gave me a different idea. Scott Hosey writes that here in the is an early indication that where Jesus will go, somehow God's shalom will follow, which led me to see something different in those wild beasts. I mean, look at the order. After Jesus was tempted, after the temptation, Jesus was with the wild beast and the angels ministered to him. So maybe there's a suggestion here that the wild beast came to help him too, just like the angels, to bring him community, perhaps to warm him up in the cold nights or to lead him to water. I love this thought. Jesus snuggled up with a desert fox. Jesus walking along with an antelope to find a spring, a hidden spring. Maybe Jesus being fed by ravens. I mean, if St. Francis could do it, surely Jesus could do it too. Jesus living beyond the divisions and fears that separate us from our fellow creatures, experiencing the fullness of God's shalom. However we understand the wild beasts, Mark is clear about the angels. They came to wait on him, to minister to him, to meet his needs. And angels come to us too, don't they? In our wilderness times when we're stripped bare and totally depleted and not sure how we can go on, sometimes our angels are other people, those who show up for us, who do not abandon us, the people who love us no matter what, and the strangers who can be surprisingly kind and generous. But there are supernatural angels too, of course, messengers of God, spirits of love and light that somehow touch our lives in unexpected moments and bring peace and joy in the darkest and most difficult times. God knows our needs, and God sends angels to respond. As the song said, it may not be when we want it, but it's always right on time, because God is an on-time God. We can trust God and not be afraid. As Andrew Pryor writes, in the wilderness, life is torn open along with the heavens, and the love and power of God shines through. The kingdom of God comes near. Preparing for our own liberation involves facing the raw elements of life. Part of that is struggle. Part of it is returning to simplicity and trust. What can seem at first as an abandonment of life, even a being torn away, proves to be a gateway to a new kind of life. Life is being torn open from the river to the heavens, Pryor writes. If we will wake up from our anesthesia, we will see that the kingdom is coming near. Constantly, we are being called to wilderness, to trust that outside the norms of our regular society, we will find this kingdom, which is real life, the place where angels minister to us, the place where we become who we are meant to be, fully awake. Out of his wilderness experience, Jesus began to proclaim this good news. The time is here. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent, believe, trust in the good news. The reign of God, the inbreaking of God's presence, God with us here and now, is happening. This is the good news. This is the good news that fills our lives. Amen.